This is the EWN Radio Network.
Doctors were just prescribing me medication to numb the pain, or they were just telling me that it was in my head and that I was making it up for attention.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. As Wayne said, I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. As always, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode. One of the amazing things I love about Life Interrupted Radio and the Autoimmune Hour is I get to meet amazing people, and I really enjoy that part of it, plus finding out that we're all more alike than different. And speaking of that, I mentioned to you last time that I was going to an arts and crafts show, and I did, although I have to say, I was down in Florida last week, and it was pouring down rain. And being from the Pacific Northwest, I was, you know, at home. In fact, it was a little warm, and it was warm rain, which is odd for me, but it was pouring down rain. And it was so funny. I'm thinking about how I have a hood on. I don't even have an umbrella up. And I was thinking about our more alike and our more differences. And it just sort of stood out to me at that craft fair when it's pouring down rain, and how the people there in Florida weren't used to this, going to a craft fair in the rain. So that was interesting. I found some amazing artists, and I had such a great time talking to them about how they did their work too. So that was a lot of fun. One of the things we need as in our recovery process from autoimmune is doing things that are fun, doing things that are different, doing things that don't tax us so much that we just become absolutely exhausted and worthless the next day, but absolutely we enjoy, we can get out there, do something different, something new and exciting instead of the same old, same old. So I loved it. It was great. I bought a couple pieces of jewelry, so it was a lot of fun. I'm sitting here with a chai tea with coconut milk in it. I know, a lot of caffeine, but hey, it's my start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of yours. Sometimes after a long week, I need a little caffeine, right? So I'm sitting here with a chai tea with coconut milk in it. I'm going to be enjoying that when we talk to our special guest. I have to say, she has the youngest guest we've ever had on the Autoimmune Hour. She's 22 years old now. She was kind enough to reach out to me via the website, lifeinterruptedradio.com. I have a little tab there about be a guest. And she wrote me a beautiful letter, a very sad letter in some ways, but it was so uplifting as well. And one of the things that about my guest, her name is Georgia Houston. And at age 13, she was hit with a mysterious, unrelenting pain that no doctor could explain. Now, most of you out there in the autoimmune world can relate to that, right? Well, for a year, her life crashed around her from medical misdiagnoses. She dropped out of school. She couldn't play the sports that she loved to do. So many things just began to unwind until she finally was prescribed a series of alternative therapies. And this is what I love about her story, because slowly Georgia regained her health, and her experience put her in touch with other kids who suffered from same or similar chronic pain, and she became determined to help them. I could so relate to that because that's why I started the Autoimmune Hour. There's got to be a purpose for me whenever I'm doing something, there's got to be a purpose. And one of the purposes in my going through my recovery of my own autoimmune is to bring out fascinating, wonderful experiences, people, things that we can learn, all sorts of types of ways of looking at autoimmune and how to thrive regardless of our diagnosis. Anyway, this young lady went on to create the Teen Pain Help Foundation. Imagine that. And here she is. She started it at 13, and she went on to create a foundation to let others be aware of what it's like and how to help young people with chronic pain. Currently, she does public speaking. She's written 2 books about pain, and she spreads the word that there is no pill or surgery that helps, but there is a path back to health. I have to applaud her. I'll bring her on in just a second, but she just graduated from the university and spending the summer doing even more public speaking before she heads off to USC grad school for social work in the fall. So welcome, Georgia. Thank you for being on the Autoimmune Hour.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, where to start with your story? First off, let's talk with your story. I know that you mentioned to me that it has not been classified as an autoimmune problem, but when we've chatted, you could relate in so many ways, such as fibromyalgia, migraines, IBS, other things like that. So tell us a little bit about the beginning of the story. I mean, I must have been absolutely frightening at 13.
It was, and I've had such a great life up until then. Everything had come so effortlessly to me. I was an athlete. I had just gotten into the private school of my dreams for high school, and I was starting that up. And then out of nowhere, this pain just started happening, and I was really confused. And I had just gotten on the soccer team at my high school, and it was just everything was going up for me, and I was really happy. And then this all started, and I didn't know where it was coming from. And so it just led me on this crazy path of trying to figure out where this pain was coming from. And it was really difficult to find doctors who even believed that I was experiencing pain.
Oh, I think a lot of us are nodding our heads when we hear that. That is a common refrain I hear here on the Autoimmune Hour. It's all in your head. Oh my goodness. I just sometimes want to look at the people that say that to me and say, have you ever been in pain? Have you ever had a skin rash? Have you ever had a headache? You know, just look at them and say, please, please do not say that to people. How long did it take from the time that you started to realize that there was a problem to really understanding the depth of the problem? I mean, sometimes it's called growing pains, or I know as an adult, when my autoimmune started, it was a good 2 years before they realized the depth of the problem.
Yeah, I started going to doctors almost immediately because being an athlete, you have injuries all the time. And so I just thought that I could nip it in the bud, but it didn't really work out that way. So I started feeling pain running down my right leg and in my lower back. So I went to the doctor and told them that that was where my pain was. And so, of course, they started looking at my lower back and my leg. And they put me in MRI machines, x-ray machines, bone scans. They gave me every medication under the sun. They put me in a full body cast where I couldn't even bend at the waist. They put a 13, 14-year-old girl in a body cast. And so when I walked, I had this weird gait, and you could tell something was wrong, and it was very bulky, and I couldn't even sit in a chair. So classes, I was either laying on the ground or standing up in the back, and it was really distracting, and everyone knew that something was wrong, but no one really knew what it was. And so, of course, there were rumors going around about that, and I just slowly fell into the background of everything. I lost my friends. I had to drop out of school because I wasn't going to school because the pain was so bad, and between going to 3 doctor's appointments a day all over town and then not feeling up to going to school and standing in the back all day, I just had to drop out of school, which made me feel even more alone. And I was just restricted to my parents' bedroom for about 6 to 8 months, I would say. And it was just, that entire time we were just searching for what was going on, even someone just to believe that this was going on. And doctors were just prescribing me medications, basically, to numb the pain, or they were just telling me that it was in my head and that I was making it up for attention. And I would say, why would I be making this up for attention? Why would I not be with my friends playing soccer right now? And why would I rather be sitting here in your waiting room for 3 hours? It just didn't really make any sense. So it was a really long journey.
I think a lot of us here are nodding our heads going, oh my goodness, we've heard this. You know, we've said those same words over and over again. But to be so young and going through it is just surprising and heartbreaking to me. Did they finally ever give it, I'll just put in air quotes, a label? Or is it still a mysterious issue with them on what happened?
Finally, I got in to see Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer at the UCLA Pediatric Pain Program, and she turned my world upside down. She told me that I need to stop taking all the medications that I've been prescribed, and she told me that I needed to do hypnotherapy, Iyengar yoga, and art therapy. And my parents and I were wondering, what are you talking about? You're a doctor and you're telling me not to take the pain medication. You're telling me to draw instead. You're telling me to do hypnotherapy. That just didn't make sense to us, how that could manage my pain that has been so devastating. But at that point, we were just so lost and confused. We were trying everything. And so we just put our all in that and put our belief and hopes into her. And she delivered. Her team, she has a whole team over there. And we went to the art therapist and the hypnotherapist and the yoga instructor. And I just put my all into that and trusted them. And they really, really got my life back on track. I had to reach that breaking point, you know, to just say that I'll do whatever it takes. And then I started to take my online school. I homeschooled myself back into my cohort. And so I got to start school again back in the fall with them. And it was a big uphill battle, but I got back thanks to everyone else and just finding out ways to respect my body and limit my stress and just accept that this was my new normal. And I had to just move on from that and accept that this is my life now, and now I can do what I want to do with it.
Wow, what a story. I am thrilled that, as you said, a doctor prescribing all this stuff. And I know when we chatted one time, you talked about doubting, and I'll put in air quotes here, that hippie stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
It just rang true with me. But I know a lot of us out here are going, yes, we can relate that things like massage and light exercise and yoga and anything that reduces our stress can so help us. Now, are you still working through chronic pain, or have you been able to conquer it?
My kind of chronic pain, it's not really about conquering, because mine is a neurological problem where basically I had a previous injury that opened my pain receptors and then they just never closed properly. So it's something that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life, unfortunately, where pain is amplified for me, or sometimes it can be described kind of like phantom limb pain, where I'll feel the pain where an injury isn't there, you know? And so that's what I go through. So that's something that I will have to deal with, but by using the tools that this team at UCLA gave me, I can control them as much as possible.
Oh, great. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to learn from Georgia about her foundation and how she took everything that she learned from the UCLA Pediatric Pain Program and began to mentor other young people who were suffering from similar types of issues as her. So we'll be back in just a minute with Georgia Houston from the teenpainhelp.org, which is Teen Pain Help Foundation. We'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be.
After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, and today we're talking with Georgia Houston. She, at 13, was hit by a very mysterious, unrelenting pain that doctors couldn't explain. It took her a long time to find the right type of therapy for her specific pain. I think a lot of us with autoimmune can relate to that. She's been sharing with us her story about what happened to her. And now I want to shift gears here because she has an amazing story of how she took what happened to her and what she learned during that time, and has now started a foundation where she gives back. She gives back to others and helps them understand their path, their ways back to health for them, and how that they can thrive regardless of their diagnosis. So welcome back, Georgia. Thank you for being on the Autoimmune Hour with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to jump in now to about how you became a mentor at the Pediatric Pain Program and some of the things that you learned about pain and young people in pain while you were mentoring other young people.
Going through the whole process, even though after seeing Dr. Zeltzer, I was getting better, I was improving, I still felt like it was my fake pain. I still referred to it as my fake pain. I still thought I was crazy, and I still felt so alone because all the therapists and doctors that I was seeing at that point were telling me, oh, this is real. Chronic pain is real. Other people have it. There are other kids with it. They were telling me that, but I never accepted that because I didn't see the kids. So I really did feel alone. And then once they asked me to become a mentor, I was kind of hesitant because it's a very vulnerable subject for me. There's a stigma that comes along with it, but I went with it. And I went to this training session that they had. There was about 8 other people that were my age that were also going to be mentors. And we just sat there for hours talking, sharing stories and experiences, and just in awe about how similar our whole lives had been and how frustrated we were with doctors and the system and how lonely we were and how much we had lost at such a young age. And we were just all so amazed that it just changed our whole perspective on it, that this really is out there, that this does exist. It's not just us. And so going through that mentor process, just the training session was just amazing for me. And then mentoring other people who had it really showed me that not only people have it worse out there than I did, that I needed to help them, and that people were really looking for advice and people were going through the same struggle that I was. People were feeling lonely and they were in that deep devastation that I was in, and now it was my turn to give back and bring them back to where they want to be in their life.
Goodness, I could relate on so many levels there about oftentimes when we are at the depths of our despair, it's been so proven in study after study, and I hear it all the time here on the Autoimmune Hour, when we give back, whether it's through mentoring or public speaking or being on podcasts like here or numerous ways, when we give back, and it doesn't have to be related to our condition. And I've talked to people that have given back by training pets, but you know, by rescuing animals, doing all sorts of wonderful things. It's amazing what happens when we're able to give back and help others during that time that we are healing ourselves. So I applaud you for that. As far as the mentoring goes, what are some things that you would tell people, these young people, when they came to you and said, how do you deal with chronic pain, Georgia? Did you come up with 2 or 3 simple things that people could do if they were in chronic pain at that moment?
Yes, I would say communication, because you need to ask for help. That can be the most powerful tool, because I know it's really difficult for me to ask for help, especially, so kind of a hypocrite by saying that, but you really do need to lean on other people because you're not alone. I know that sounds so cheesy, but the support of your loved ones can mean everything to someone. And also just self-compassion, because we work a lot on being nice to other people and kind to other people, but there's not a lot of self-reflection and self-compassion that goes on in our society, I feel like. And that's huge, just knowing your body's limits and keeping your stress low and just loving yourself and your body and accepting it. I think that can be huge in the healing process.
So ask for help, self-compassion, self-reflection, and I'd say like honoring who you are and where you're at. Those are so critical.
Yeah.
Absolutely so critical. We hear that from our other guests too, that those are often very, very hard. And I think sometimes it's hard for our loved ones to see us go through it. If we were to ask your folks or your loved ones what some of the things that they've learned, how they can support you, or how have you asked to help them support you? I know you mentioned it is hard to ask for help. Even here I am, much older than you, my dear, and still have a hard time asking for help. What are some things that you've learned or your family has told you has been helpful for them to be able to understand what it takes?
Honestly, I have to go back to the communication, because there are times when I do want to be distracted. I do want someone to talk to me and engage so I don't think about the pain. But then there are sometimes when I do just need a couple hours of laying in bed and, frankly, feeling sorry for yourself. You know, sometimes you just need to let your body go through that process and then you can restart again. So I feel like my loved ones can get really confused at times about which mood I'm in. And my family and friends would say that communication is key for that, because they don't know where my head's at. They don't know where my body is at. And so if I tell them what I need, then they can respond accurately and then I'll get better. And then they get the Georgia back that they want.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I find that too. And it's so wonderful when we are surrounded by those types of people in our world. And always want to encourage you, if you don't have that kind of support, I know it sounds harsh, but sometimes maybe you need to find better friends. that's me. That's just my saying it there, because I have a very supportive group of people around me that I love dearly, and they love me too. And that is a huge part in healing, is having a supportive community around you. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the therapies you use. I mean, they are, as we mentioned before, a little hippie-ish, but how did you find that they work? Let's first talk about art therapy. To me, when I read that, I understood sort of like the yoga, because that would be stretching and moving the body, the sacral cranial massage, I understood that. But, you know, the one that struck me as most interesting, especially coming from what I'll call a Western traditional medical place, was art therapy. Tell us a little bit about the thought behind art therapy and pain.
If you go to an actual art therapist to do it, they sit you down and they figure out what you need help with. And they gave me assignments on it. They would say, for example, draw a self-portrait. And then I would draw a self-portrait. And then you put it up and you step back and you and the art therapist talk your way through it. For example, let's say, oh, why is your mouth so small? Is that because maybe you don't feel like you have a voice in many matters? You know, things like that. They walk you through your thought process and dissect it piece by piece. And it's not just drawing. It can be through collage. It can be through clay. It can be through anything, any medium that the art therapist wants you to use. And they can kind of manipulate your process by giving you different materials. For example, if they want you to feel vulnerable, they can give you watercolor. So there's a little less control in the matter. And if they want you to feel more in control, they can give you a pencil. It just depends on how they want you to feel in that moment and what they want to get out of you. Try to figure out what's really going on subconsciously and bring it to light, because art really is a great tool for seeing what's really going on deeper inside. And the art therapist knows how to get there. And that's actually what I want to do. As a living, I want to be an art therapist, so it truly inspired me for the rest of my life, actually.
Amazing, amazing. I know currently you work for Blue Sky Abilities, and there you're counseling at-risk kids and teenagers. Do you work with them in understanding their creativity and finding out, digging into their imagination and their creativity?
Yes, I actually started a monthly art workshop there for kids all across the community to come and kind of, I'm not a licensed art therapist, I don't do it as a profession yet, but just to express themselves artistically and kind of explore that part of themselves. Yeah.
Oh, how much fun is that? I remember as growing up, we had a lot of art classes available to us all through the school and in and even through summer programs. I remember them so vividly. Now, they weren't for me for any particular reason other than I just wanted to be creative, but I know they had a lifelong influence on how I view the world and how I operate in the world. So Bravo there. We're just about out of time, but I want to be sure and have you mention, talk to us about both your books. You have two amazing books. One is Vienna's Waiting, about your journey back to health, and then Pain, an Owner's Manual. So let's talk a little bit about both your books. I mean, I'm an author of 7 books, so I know what it takes to write a book. My goodness, what an amazing undertaking, 2 books in a short period of time, especially doing a recovery process from pain. So let's first talk about your book about your journey back. Tell us a little bit about why that book. And
Vienna's Waiting is a book about, it's kind of a memoir, like you said. When I was actually going through it, Dr. Zeltzer said, you should write a book about this, and I laughed at it. And then a couple years later, my dad kind of revisited the subject and said, you know, you really should, because that can be a great tool to show other people that they really aren't alone and that this is real. And it can help a lot of people, just knowing that someone else is out there having those same thoughts and feelings and emotions. So I just kind of, as a junior or senior in high school, decided that now's the time. And it was really difficult to dig back into those emotions again and feel that just despair. But I just knew that it had to happen. So it's just a story about me getting the diagnosis and trying to find out how to fight this chronic pain, and then getting back to my normal life. And then the next book, Pain and Owner's Manual, kind of stemmed from that, because I got such a great reaction from the Vienna's Waiting book that I found out there are so many more people out there with all types of pain that I never really thought about. People that were really close in my life that I never knew had lifelong pain reached out to me because of this book. And so Pain and Owner's Manual is just a compilation of interviews. I just called people from across the country and asked them to tell me about their pain story and how they cope with it and what keeps them going. So I feel like that kind of reads to a bigger audience, because they're people of all different ages, all different backgrounds, and I also interviewed children's point of view, growing up with parents with this problem. I interviewed spouses with this problem, and just all the different perspectives that could possibly come from pain and all the people that have to deal with it, because, you know, it just impacts everyone in your life. So those are my 2 books, and I think that they can be really helpful for a lot of people.
And just the courage as a young person, I know how many older generation people, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, would put the kibosh on picking up the phone and calling people and interviewing them about pain, which is an interesting subject. I find that a number, you know, I think to me, a majority of people live with pain at some level, and yet it's one of those things we just never talk about. As you went through these interviews, a series of interviews with people, were there a couple of things that you began to see people had in common?
Yes, definitely a lot of people had suicidal thoughts. I know that's very dark, but they did, and they all found a way to get past it, except for one individual. He was telling me in the interview that he was planning on taking his life because the pain was so severe. And then I went and interviewed his wife on her perspective, and it was just, it's this big part of the book that I feel very passionate about. And then I want to say that after he read the book, he called me up and told me that he decided not to take his life anymore, because after reading the book and seeing how many other people were going through that, he saw that he can get through it, and that this gets me emotional. He decided that he wasn't going to take his life anymore because he saw that this was a struggle that a lot of people had gone through and that we can get through it. And that was a big part of the book, because a lot of people had those thoughts, but they decided not to for various reasons, because of their family and friends and their support system. And also, like I kind of said before, just their new normal. Everyone just had to accept that the life that they wanted is not necessarily the life that they're going to have anymore, but that doesn't make it any less meaningful.
Oh my goodness. You know, what a powerful thing to know that your book absolutely changed one person's life. Completely changed the trajectory of one person's life, I'll say, and his family's life, and it ripples in a pond. So bravo on that. And I just know that anytime I hear those sorts of stories about the autoimmune or someone hearing something here, it, in a way, I know it sounds odd, but in a way it makes it all worth it. I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. People reach out and just say, thank you for having this website. Thank you for having these books. because I know it's not just me anymore. And so that definitely makes it worth it.
Absolutely. And when I first got my diagnosis with autoimmune, and I know your condition isn't autoimmune, but speaking with my listeners here, when I first got the diagnosis of autoimmune, as if you've listened for any time, you know it's a great big long word called dermatomyositis. The funny thing that happened was there's such a misunderstanding that I would say things like, oh, you know, it's dermatomyositis, and you get the glazed look on people's eyes, and then I'd say, oh, it's an autoimmune condition. They immediately went to thinking that it was HIV or AIDS because that was the only word they corresponded with, autoimmune. So the reason I started the Autoimmune Hour was to get a greater understanding that there's over, you know, 120 count and counting different autoimmune conditions. And it just means that your immune system is attacking your body for some reason in some way. So that's my little preachy point there. Let's talk a little bit before we have to close here, Georgia, on the Teen Pain Help Foundation, what you do, and I'll just put in air quotes, what your little preachy points are about teen help, or I'm sorry, teen pain help, or actually just pain help, because what you've learned, I know, isn't just about teens, that regardless of your age, you've gained so much knowledge about pain and how to help people with it. So let's talk a little bit about your foundation, your website, and then what your couple of preachy points are about pain.
Our at-home point is that there are kids and teenagers and families out there who are in pain and they need help. They don't know what's going on. They might not. I mean, I was fortunate enough to live in Los Angeles, California, where there are really amazing doctors. But there are people in smaller towns and more rural areas all across the world, frankly, that might not have access to those tools that I had. I was extremely lucky. And also, I had parents who believed me and supported me and loved me. And so I know that that's not the case for everyone, unfortunately. And there are people in my book who express those same feelings. And I just want to make sure that everyone out there knows that this is real and that they can be helped, that you don't have to live with this necessarily, with the extent of the pain that you're dealing with. And also, it's out there to show families and friends who are skeptical, who might not believe their child or their friend or their loved one, that this is real. And so it's to show them also to believe them. And also, the last point I would want to say is that it's also for a lot of doctors out there, because unfortunately, many doctors don't believe in this, even though it is real and it is proven, but they say that it's all in your head.
Oh, I have to say bravo for you there. I can't tell you how many times I've quote-unquote fired doctors when they refused to understand what was really happening.
That's because your pain doesn't show up on an x-ray doesn't mean it's psychosomatic. And so that's my last point I would want to say for the doctors out there who are skeptical, that people wouldn't just make this up for no reason and ruin their lives.
So true. So true. Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about your website and the foundation, how we can learn more about it. And then just let us know. I mean, here you are, young age, just getting ready to go off to grad school after the summer. So tell us what's next besides telling us about the foundation.
Like you said, the teenpainhelp.org foundation, that is where we do a lot of postings for, we're trying to do public awareness basically. And so I've done some art shows where I've shown my art therapy. I do some speaking engagements about chronic pain and just try to spread the word. After this summer, I'm actually getting married in July, so that's really exciting. That's what's next.
Well, congratulations. That shows life goes on. Fantastic.
Thank you. And then, just grad school in May and trying to spread the word as much as I can and help other people in any way that I can.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, so how can let's give us the URL for the website again so we know how to learn more about it.
www.teenpainhelp.org.
Fantastic. And isn't Georgia just a delight to show us that, you know, whatever happens to us doesn't have to stop us? When she contacted me through lifeinterruptedradio.com, there's a little button there to be a guest. So if this resonates with you and you know someone or you want to be a guest, please do that. And it just resonated with me because here's a young person who could have just thrown her hands up and said, what the heck? But you've seen that she was able to complete the high school and get on through the university. Now she's getting married and going to grad school. So bravo, Georgia. Thank you so much for sharing your story and that you can thrive regardless of your diagnosis, including starting a foundation and raising public awareness about the topic of that you're really living and you're passionate about. So bravo. Thank you for being my guest here on the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Well, everyone, as always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. You know, it's going to be really hot here. I'm back in the Pacific Northwest this week, and it's going to be really hot here. And I haven't decided what I'm going to do this weekend. I don't know about you, but some autoimmune conditions do less well in heat. Mine is one of those. So I'll find something and share with you next week what it is I found. Be sure and share with me over on Facebook, facebook.com/Life Interrupted Radio, what's going on for you. And connect over at lifeinterruptedradio.com as well. As always, like I said, have a great time, whatever your weekend adventures are, and as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit #1 bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com. and become a partner in your healthcare.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.